Hey, welcome to the Morning Manna podcast. I'm Pastor Greg coming to you from Twin Falls, Idaho. We are going through the Psalms, and the Psalms are rich with theology. They're so relational. That is, they help foster our relationship with God as we look at the psalmist's relationship with God. And so this morning, we're going to dive into Psalm 9. We probably won't get all the way through it this morning, but it's another Psalm of David, our guy David. And it is full of great encouragement about our relationship with the Lord. And so I want to maybe draw your attention to maybe, three or four things this morning about our relationship with God. Okay, number one is we praise him. Okay, we praise him. I'll read it to you. Verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I love that. So if you're a Christian, then part of who you are is that you're a worshiper of the Lord. You praise him. You make much of him. And notice that we're to do it with our whole heart, so which means we can do it half-heartedly, right? And so there's something very wonderful about giving yourself fully to praising God and not being, half-hearted, lukewarm, unenthusiastic. And I think a lot of Christians, they wrestle with this because they think, oh man, if I'm too enthusiastic, I feel uncomfortable with that. Listen, that kind of discomfort is a discomfort you need to lean into. And I'm not saying, go to your church and like be a distraction to everybody. I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you what, when I look out over our congregation on a Sunday morning and I see somebody that has their arms raised to God and tears going down their face and they're singing, it inspires me. It provokes me to be wholehearted in my worship of God. Listen, there will always be critics of passion for the Lord. You remember when Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, not Mary the mother, but Mary Magdalene was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she took some expensive perfume, cost a year's wage, so 40, 50 grand, and anointed Jesus with that perfume. And it was a profound act of worship and praise to Jesus. But what happened? She was criticized. She was criticized by Judas and the disciples. He said, wow, how could you take and waste all of that valuable, all that money essentially? That could have gone to feed the poor. And what did Jesus say? He rebuked the disciples, right? And said, listen, the poor you'll have with you always. What she has done will be spoken of for generations. And indeed, we're speaking of it now, aren't we? Worshiping God, be lavish, wholehearted in your praise of the Lord. Well, secondly, we give glory to him. That's verse 3. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. So notice how David is giving God glory. You did it. You did it. You did it. Even though David was involved in battles and defeating, other armies and all that kind of thing, David is saying, you did it, you did it, you did it. And so this is so crucial to the Christian life that we learn to give God the glory that's due his name. There's not a breath that you or I will take today That isn't a gift from God. God is sustaining us right now. And so to learn how to give God glory for all things. And in our case, we're probably not going to do physical battle with nations, but we do spiritual battle on a regular basis, don't we? The weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not physical, but they're mighty, they're powerful to the pulling down of strongholds. And every vain imagination and knowledge that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so we take our thoughts and we make them captive and obedient to Christ. So that's the warfare that you and I wage every single day. And so when we see God giving us victory, we need to give God glory. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me victory today over this thought pattern or this temptation or whatever. And so David was careful to give glory to God. Well, let's do one more. Thirdly, Thirdly, we trust him. We trust him. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. So I trust God in his judgments. I trust him that at the end of the story, that every injustice is going to be punished. Every wicked thing that's been done, every unfair thing, that God will sort all of that out perfectly. And the way that he is dealing with it now, and this troubles people so much, that why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there such inequity in life and so on? So I have to be, like David, in a place where I go, God, I trust you. I trust you. Even though I look around the planet and am troubled by the terrible things that I see, Lord, you didn't stay aloof from our suffering. You entered into it. You became a man. You experienced horror and humiliation at the hands of men. And so you understand the suffering that humans go through. And you did something about it, and you're going to do something about it. And so rather than indicting God for what I perceive to be, God's isn't running things the way I would run them if I was God. Well, we can all be thankful that I'm not running things, you're not running things, and that the Lord, the God who became a man, lived among us, died for us, rose from death, that he is the righteous judge, and things will be sorted out perfectly eventually. So be encouraged, Christian. Be someone who praises the Lord, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, and partner with the Lord in battle and always trust him. He knows what he's doing. Hey, God bless you.